In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The second Sunday of Easter, which today is also known as Low Sunday. Thank you for making the effort. I guess people figure, hey, we did last week. What do you want? But it is good to gather together, and especially during the great 50 days. I mean, every Sunday is basically a celebration of Easter, a celebration of the resurrection. But during these 50 days between Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost, we're very intentional about celebrating and sharing the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's news that couldn't be kept down. During Easter, we read from the Acts of the Apostles instead of from the Old Testament, because that book shows the response to the resurrection. That a group of men, the apostles who had been scattered at the arrest of Christ and his trial and his execution, who were hiding in fear in a room that they would be coming after them next, are transformed by their encounter with the resurrected Christ to the point where they can't keep quiet. They're sternly ordered by the religious authorities. Don't talk about Jesus. Yeah, we killed him, but yeah, don't do anything. Don't try to blame us for that. That's what they were worried about. But as Peter tells them, we can't keep quiet about it. This is too good to keep quiet. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. That even though people try to get rid of him, try to quash his message, try to put down the Jesus movement that he was starting, it didn't work because people didn't have the final say. God does. And after people had said, we need to get rid of this guy and what he stands for, nail it to a tree, leave it in the sun to die, God raised him from the dead. That's why there's such joy and rejoicing in the Acts of the Apostles. Why they're so willing to go out into the world and face hardship, to face death even, to proclaim the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it means that Christ is vindicated, that all those things that Christ had done and had taught and had shown were acceptable to God. That even when people tried to get rid of it, God brings it back to life. As God brings us to new life in him. That when Jesus said, love one another, when Jesus said, love your enemies, when he said, bless those that persecute you, when he said to go out into the world and love your neighbor as yourself, to love God with all your heart, that's what God wanted. We know because God raised him from the dead so we could keep proclaiming it. And so we could be made disciples to proclaim the same thing. Because even though he was the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth was one guy. He could only be in one place at one time in his incorporate form. But because of his death and resurrection, because of the giving of the Holy Spirit, that message of love and compassion can be spread by all of us. All of us who share in the resurrection of Christ. All of us who have been raised to new birth in him can spread that good news to the world. Not good news of, hey, you don't have to go to hell, but good news that you're part of the family of God, that God wants you, that God knows you, that God loves you. And it's too good a news to be kept down by anything, even death. It triumphs over that. That there is good news, that God loves us. And it transformed the lives of the apostles. It transformed the lives of those who first heard the story. And 2,000 years later, it still transforms lives. That our lives are given meaning through Jesus Christ. That we know that we don't just exist in meaninglessness. That God is. And God loves, and God calls us to love. The writer of John says, you know, these things are written so that you can believe and have life. that our existence is not meaningless, that we mean something to God. And that means something, that we are known and loved by God. And so, yeah, Thomas, sorry, man. Thomas, forever called doubting, even though it's just one little verse here in John. And Thomas gets mentioned three times in John's gospel. The first time is when Lazarus dies and Jesus is out of town and he tells the guys, we're going to go back. And they're all like, you can't go back. They'll kill you. And Thomas says, if you go, we'll follow. And if you're going to die, we'll die with you. That's not doubt. That's faith. That's commitment. That's belief. At the Last Supper, when Jesus is trying to explain what's going to happen over the next few hours and how the world is going to change, and he tells them, I go before you to prepare a place for you. It's Thomas who sets up the answer with the question, how are we supposed to know the way? And Jesus can tell them, I am the way. I am the life and the truth. And then one time, Thomas says, I'm not sure about this. Of course, the other disciples weren't either. If you read it, he appears in this locked room. First of all, they're still afraid. There's no joy at the resurrection. They don't know. The women have come back with this cockamamie story about an empty tomb, but they don't believe it. They're locked away. But Jesus appears to them. And they don't immediately shout, hey, you're back. No, he has to show them his hands and his feet. Then they believe, Scripture says. So they weren't all on board right away. And yet Thomas, we single out. And even when Thomas does come face to face with the risen Christ, Jesus doesn't shake his head and say, tisk, tisk, tisk. He says, here are my hands. Here are my feet. Believe. What do you need? And it's Thomas, out of anybody in any of the Gospels, who calls Jesus my God. He's the only one. But he's doubting Thomas. Not proclaiming Thomas, not professing Thomas, not Thomas who understands, first of all people, that Jesus is God. No, he's doubting Thomas. And that's a shame. But these things are written so that we can believe. And I don't say that so we don't doubt like Thomas. I don't think doubt is what Thomas really had in mind. So we can believe like Thomas. So that we can follow Christ as Thomas did. That we can be willing to go where Christ leads us, even if it seems scary. That we can be willing to fall down on our knees and call him our Lord and our God. To know what Jesus Christ means to us and to the world. If that's doubting, maybe we can use a little doubt. But it's not. It's faith and belief. And love, and that we can all use in abundance. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.